Today is October 29th, 2009. Kartik Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu class discussing these different types of Raghunuga Bhakti, Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti, Chapter 2, First Division, Verse 300. And we were interesting discussion yesterday about the different. We're talking, it's so confusing to understand the spiritual world, that there's Vrindavan, we want to go back home, back to Vrindavan. And then we find out that there's more than one Vrindavan. There's two Vrindavans in the spiritual world. Aishwarya Mayi Vrindavan, Madhurya Mayi Vrindavan. This is a comment, this is verse 303. Rimram sam shushtu kurvan yo vidi margena sevate kevala neva satada mahishtram iyat pure. A person who is worshipping Krishna, following the path of Vaidhi Bhakti, and he desires to have an intimate conjugal relationship with the Lord, the Madhurya Ras, but he doesn't have a desire to follow the love or the bhava of the Braja Gopis, then after he becomes perfect, then he takes birth and he becomes takes birth in Dwarka. So we mentioned some of this from our notes yesterday, and this is Vishnu Chakravarti's purport of this verse, and I just read from Banamaraj's book. So again, we can entertain this idea of the spiritual world has two divisions, a sweet Vrindavan with a sweet Krishna, and another Vrindavan with another Vrindavan, an opulent Vrindavan with a less sweet Krishna. Those who have a desire to taste the sweetness of Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan, but they worship according to Vaidhi Bhakti, using nyasas and mudras and all these other aspects of Vaidhi Sadhana, they do not attain Krishna and Dwarka with Rukmini because they do not have that aspiration. Nor can they attain Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan because they lack the worship on the path of Rag. That's very interesting. It sounds like someone is in ISKCON. He's following very strictly Vaidhi Bhakti and maybe using mudras and other nyasas and touching his nose and chanting mantras when he does puja and purification. And he appreciates the sweetness of Radha and Krishna. So where is he going to go if he attains perfection? Well, he can't go to Dwarka because he doesn't really want to go to Dwarka, and he's not worshipping Krishna, Radha and Krishna. He's not worshipping Rukmini and Dwarkish. He's worshipping Radha and Krishna from Vrindavan. But on the path of Vaidhi. And he can't attain Radha and Krishna Vrindavan because he's not attained the bhavas or the level of the gopis, and he's not following the gopis. So where does he go? So Vishnu says they have the predominant awareness of the Lord as Aishwarya Gyan, which is sometimes people say that Aishwaryasya Samagrasya. We say Krishna. And Prabhupada emphasized this in the beginning of his teachings. He's always saying Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And everyone says, what is the definition of God? And he said, well, Krishna means the one who has unlimited wealth, unlimited beauty, unlimited knowledge, unlimited strength, unlimited renunciation. We say this is six characteristics of God, the Godhead. Back home, back to God. This is God. But these qualities, that he's the supremely super excellent beauty, super excellent strength, super excellent wealth, knowledge, renunciation, etc. These are indicative of the opulence, the grandeur, the power, the greatness of God. And that's generally how we see. We see this Aishwarya, that God is great, and we study the books to understand the greatness of God. And of course, this is the preliminary. This is what the whole nine cantos of Bhagavatam are about, to understand the vibhutis and greatness of God. But if we stop there, and we don't catch up the actual inner message of the tenth canto, and we get lost just with the Vaidhi, with the greatness and grandeur and opulence and vibhuti of the Lord, and stick with that conception, which many devotees do. from the beginning all the way through 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, they just had this conception, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then they'll say, Aishwaryasya Samagrasya Viryasya. He has super excellent fame and power, strength, etc. And they never have this. And if you say, well, you have to follow the gopis, and say, oh, I'm not following gopis. Krishna's Kurukshetra. He's a Kshatriya. He's all powerful. He's God, omniscient one. And what to do? This is a very interesting problem for the Lord. So Vishnu says, because they have a predominant, their awareness of God or Krishna is this Aishwarya aspect. That's the predominant view in their worship. And they worship according to the rules of Vaidhi. They attain, yes, they do attain Radha and Krishna, but in a portion of Vrindavan called Goloka, because that's the worship that goes on there. They do not attain the Vrindavan of pure sweetness. Rupa Goswami has praised this Goloka portion of Vrindavan in Stavamala. So you say Vrindavan has two aspects, Gokul aspect and Goloka aspect. This is in Stavamala. Loko ramya kopi brinda tavito nasti kva pit yanjasa banduvargam vaikuntam ya shushtu sandarshyabhuyo goshtam nine patu satvam mukunda. This is, of course, from the Bhagavatam. After thoroughly showing Vaikuntha to his friends and relatives, the Vrijvasis, very easily Krishna brought them back to Vrindavan. Since that place did not have pleasant inhabitants or Vrindavan, may that Mukunda protect you. So the Nanda Maharaj and all the residents, they, after this Govardhan Leela and after a kidnapping by Varuna, they were wondering, who is this Krishna? If he's God, maybe he can, if he's God, maybe he'll take us to Vaikuntha if we worship him. So then Krishna showed them Vaikuntha. And then they said, oh, this is not very sweet. So he actually showed them that grand aspect of Vrindavan, that Goloka aspect. And they said, oh, well, we like it better where we were. we don't want to go to Goloka. That's what they said. You showed us Vaikuntha, because Krishna, the Nanda Maharaj, they asked him in chapter 28 of 10th canto, oh, if you're God and will we attain Vaikuntha? When we leave our bodies, will we go to the spiritual world? And Krishna said, yes, I'll show you where you can attain. Then he showed them that Goloka, that opulent aspect, Vrindavan. They said, no, we want to go back to Vrindavan. And then he went back and said, oh, that's not a very nice place. It's not very sweet. That's very not very intimate there. The word Vaikuntha in this verse means Krishna Vaikuntha Goloka, the place where Krishna resides with majesty. In the 10th canto, it is described how Krishna took all the coward men to Goloka, a Vaikuntha, place of majesty belonging to Krishna, in order to illustrate the special sweetness of Vrindavan to them. This is 10th canto, chapter 28, verse 14. Iti sanchintya Bhagavan maha karuniko hari darshem asalokam swam gopanam tamasaparam. Deeply considering the situation, sanchintya maha karuniko hari, that most merciful and compassionate form of the Lord, Sri Hari, revealed to the coward men his own abode, which is beyond the material darkness. Te tu brahma radham nita magna krishnena chodrita dadishur brahmano lokam yatra kruro diyagat pura. The coward men were brought by Lord Krishna to Brahma Rad, where Akrura had gone prior to the Bhagavatam narration, and they were submerged in the water and lifted up. The coward men then saw the abode of the Lord. Text 17. Nandadayas tu tam drishtva paramananda nivrita krishnam cha tatrachandobi stuyamanam suvismita. Nanda Maharaj and the other coward men felt the greatest happiness when they saw that transcendental abode. They were especially amazed to see Krishna himself there, surrounded by the personified Vedas who were offering him prayers. Brahmano Lokam, the planet of Brahman, as described in 10:28:16, is Goloka, the planet of Krishna, which is the supreme Brahman, and the human who is the Supreme Brahman and the human form. It is not the Vaikuntha planet with Lakshmi. So one should not misunderstand. Krishna did not show them the Vaikuntha of Narayana and Vishnu. He showed them the Vaikuntha aspect of Vrindavan. The Bhagavatam verse 10:28-14 says that Krishna showed them Swam Lokam, his own planet. Means Krishna Loka, which has the two divisions. Krishna does not have a planet of Vaikuntha with Lakshmi. Verse 10:28-17 describes Krishna being praised by the Vedas. It is impossible that there would be pastimes of Krishna in Lakshmi's Vaikuntha. Thus, Brahmano Lokam refers to a planet of Krishna, not Vishnu, called Goloka, with majesty. That's why it's called Krishna Vaikuntha Goloka. So this is the Goloka Vrindavan has two divisions, the Vaikuntha aspect, or Aishwarya aspect, and Madhuri aspect. The sweetness aspect of Krishna and the Aishwarya aspect of Krishna. And Radha is there. Aishwarya aspect of Radha, Aishwarya aspect of Krishna. Madhuri aspect of Radha, Madhuri aspect of Krishna. Those that follow the path of Raghunuga Sadhana, following the gopis in Gopi Bhav, when they attain perfection, they attain the Madhurya Vrindavan, the sweet. We often say this is Madhurya Vrindavan, Madhurya Dham, Vrindavan. And they attain the Madhurya aspect of Radha and Krishna. Those who follow, they worship Radha and Krishna, but with the predominance of appreciating Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God, in full and six opulences. And they're overwhelmed, and they have this predominant mood that, of the omniscience and greatness and power and grandeur and Aishwarya aspect of God. And they worship in Vaidhi Sadhana. Upon attaining prema, they go to Krishna, Vaikuntha Goloka. They go to that majestic aspect of Vrindavan. It's very interesting. Thus, in this verse from the Bhagavatam, the phrase Brahmano Lokam refers to a planet of Krishna, not Vishnu, called Goloka. It's not Goloka, it's Goloka Vrindavan with two divisions, with majesty. This is also explained in Vaishnav Toshani and in Lagu Bhagavatamritam. So in Lagu Bhagavatamrita and Sanatana Goswami's commentary and Vishnav's commentary and also in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, this dual aspect is explained. In Lagu Bhagavatamrita by Rupa Goswami, this is Vishnav's commentary, part 1, chapter 5, verse 498, it says, Yat tu Goloka nam, syat tach cha Gokula vaibhavam, vaibhav. So there's Goloka and Gokul. So what is called Goloka is Gokul with a majestic aspect, Aishwarya Golok. Also in Lagu Bhagavatamrita it is said, Tadatma vaibhavatam, chatasya tan mahim onnate. Gokul's form of majesty, Goloka, rises from showing greater powers. Though it is a diversion from the topic, the meaning is this. What is called Goloka, yet Goloka Nam, is but a majesty of Gokul, Gokul of Vaibhav. Gokul is known for supreme sweetness. Goloka is a portion of Gokul which displays majesty. Thus the phrase Tadatma Vaibhavatam, which means Gokul's majestic aspect. Goloka is but the majestic aspect of Gokul, because Gokul displays a superior position. In the Patalkanda Padma Puran, so this is also mentioned in Padma Puran, Aho Madhupuri Dhanya Vaikuntad Api Gariyasi Dinamaikem Navasena Haro Bhakti Prajayate. Auspicious Gokul, or Madhupuri, here it says Aho Madhupuri, is superior to Golok, Vaikuntad. By staying there for only one day, devotion to the Lord arises. Lagu Bhagavatamrita explains that Mathura has two parts, Gokul and the city of Mathura. This phrase, Madhupuri, can refer to Gokul and also to Mathura. So this is just what we said yesterday, it's kind of a repeat, but because I only had some notes written down from some other works that I read, so this is maybe a more clear presentation. This is text 304. Tatacha Mahakorame. This is from the Mahakorama Purana. Rupa Goswami is citing this as a reference. Agniputra Mahatmanas Tapasa Stritam Apire Bratram Chajagat Yonim Vasudevam Ajam Vibhum. The saintly sons of Agni attain bodies of women by the path of Vaidhi Bhakti, and attained as their husband the unborn powerful Vasudeva, the source of the universe. So this is told in Garga Samhita. There is a couple chapters throughout the book that explain about 20 different personalities that became gopis in Krishna's Leela. So here it's described that in one part it says the different, says the devis, different demigoddesses became gopis in a future kalpa, future day of Brahma, by adopting the appropriate sadhana. So here, of course, Agni is one of the devatas, the god of fire, and he has sons, and they're very saintly, the saintly sons, because apparently he has some wild sons also. The saintly sons, Agnipucha Mahatmanas, Tapasas Stri Twam Apare. The Mahatmas, among his sons, some were Mahatmas, just like your father may have a few sons, and maybe you may be a Mahatma, and your other brother may not be a Mahatma. It's possible. Same with Agni Dev. Tapasas Stri Twam. They did tapasya to become women. But they did some tapasya because they wanted to become spiritual women. They wanted to become the consorts of Krishna. Shiva Goswami says, this word tapasa means that they perform Vaidhi Bhakti. The saintly sons of Agni became the consorts of Vasudev by following the path of Vaidhi Bhakti. So it's Rupa Goswami is further emphasizing the point. Lakshmi or anyone, if they don't follow the path of the gopis, they even may attain female forms, female spiritual bodies. They may even attain Radha and Krishna, but not the sweet Radha and Krishna, not the sweet part of Vrindavan. They may even attain Vrindavan. The word tapasa means Vaidhi Bhakti. A different type of desire from that of Raghunuga Bhaktas is also indicated by mentioning Vaidhi Bhakti. Vishnu Chakravarti says, in other words, this is Swakiya Bhav. Vishnu says, the word Bhartaram, husband, or master, like we say, Gopi Bhartu, means master, husband. It confirms that such persons attained a status like the queens of Dwarka, as mentioned previously. This means that they attained Krishna, and then again they also attained Krishna maybe even in Dwarka because they followed Vaidhi Bhakti, and they weren't even, it doesn't say that they were worshipping Radha and Krishna. So this means status like the queens means that the maidservants of the Dwarka Mahishis, because Krishna's queens, they're Nitya Siddha Parikars, they're fixed in the position of conjugal seva. So if somebody worships in that mood, then they become like maidservants. This is text 305. So this was basically discussing, just a review, these two types of Raghunuga Bhakti, Kamanuga and Sambandhanuga. And this aspect, he was talking about Kamanuga for several verses. And the Kamanuga is that which follows the gopis, or that which is the mood of the gopis, which is Parakiya Bhava, or worshipping Krishna as in the mood of someone's lover, not wife. And the other mood is this, which he said is this, it's kama, it's kama rupa, it has the form of intense lust or desire, conjugal aspiration, but they're not following the Vrajagopis, so they end up not quite in the same position. So it's Kamanuga Raghunuga Bhakti and Samband Anuga Raghunuga Bhakti. Because now he's going to describe what is Samband Anuga, Samband Anuga Bhakti. Just a review. Kamanuga is a devotional practice that strives for the mood of the Kamarup Ragatmikas. That means those eternal associates of Krishna that possess within their hearts an intense attachment, attraction, and almost, you could say, an obsession with pleasing the Lord in the mood of conjugal love or sexual union. And there's two types. They can be Brajagopis or Dwarka Mahishis. Sambandhanuga is a devotional practice that strives for the mood of the Sambandhanuga Ragatmikas. This means the eternal devotees of the Lord in Vrindavan that are the servants of Krishna in Vrindavan, the friends of Krishna in Vrindavan, or the parents, because they have Sambandha. They have a formal relationship, Sambandha. Then we heard about the two divisions, the two types of Kamanuga. One was Sambhog Icha Mayi, Icha, desire, Mayi, made of, composed of, saturated with. Sambhog, you know, bhog, enjoyment, complete enjoyment. The most complete form of enjoyment is sexual union. So Sambhog Icha Mayi means that mood or striving to serve Krishna as do those who directly meet him and conjugal love. So that could mean his queens who are his lawful wives, or it could mean his illicit lovers, the gopis of Vrindavan. That's called Sambhogicha. And then we heard about the sages of Dandakaranya, remember? The Dandakaranya sages, they fell in love with Ram with a conjugal mood. And he said, listen, I can't deal with it. I can't accommodate you because I have ek patni brata. But I will bless you that when I come as Krishna, then you can have conjugal relationship with me. So then they understood to attain, to become Krishna's lover, or they still had that mood, but they worshipped Krishna following the gopis. So they took birth among the gopis, and they fulfilled their desire by following the path, Kamanuga, Raganuga Bhakti. So that was the example of someone who follows Kamanuga, and they became gopis, and they attained Krishna in the rasa dance, the sages, who are in men's bodies. So then Rupa Goswami says, even if you're in a man's body, you can become a gopi. It doesn't mean that only women can become gopis. Any jiva who worships Krishna in that mood, they can become Krishna's consort and attain a female spiritual body, siddhadeya. Then he gave some, this is a review, then he gave some verses to explain those who didn't attain, those who could not attain Krishna, could not attain Krishna Vrindavan. Then he says that these, and where did they go? Well, they went to either the Aishwarya Vaikuntha, Krishna Vaikuntha Goloka, or they went to Dwarka, and they became maidservants of Krishna's Nitya Siddha Parishads, or his eternal associates, the queens, because they had that bhav or that mood. So these are the two divisions. The second division is Tat Tat Bhava Ichatmika, and this we haven't heard about yet. Striving not to meet with Krishna directly, but to assist the supreme heroine, Radharani, and thus directly experience her loving mood through service and appreciation. That's called tat-tad-bhava-ichatmika. This is Kamanuga because it's all about conjugal love. It's all about sexual union between Krishna and his consort. In this case, Radharani and the gopis, like Lalita Vishaka. But the tat-tad-bhava-ichatmika, bhav means they want the bhav, they want the feelings, they don't want the direct experience. They don't want to have direct union with Krishna, or even to assist, they don't want that direct union. But they want to assist Radha and Krishna, or Krishna and other gopis coming together, or joining in conjugal bliss, Sringar Ras. So they want that bhav, they desire tat tat bhav ichatmika, icha, desire that bhav in the hearts of the servants of Radharani especially. They don't want to have direct conjugal love with Krishna, but they want to serve Radharani. This is the mandris, the nitya sakis, pran sakis. So the eligibility for this Kamanuga bhakti, or Kamanuga Raganuga bhakti, one gradually becomes eligible for Kamanuga sadhana bhakti by developing a natural attraction to serving Krishna in conjugal love, which is achieved mainly by worshipping deities of Radha and Krishna and hearing Krishna's pastimes and with the Braja Gopis. And this is explained in Nectar Devotion, page 128. And now we begin. Of course, there's two more classifications. Within this Kamanuga Bhakti, you must have heard, there's Parakya and Sakya. There are two moods. There are two different moods in conjugal love. Parakya means unwedded, and swakya means wedded. Parakya, belonging to another. Swakya means belong to me, my own. We say par amor. Have you heard this term in English? There's the word par amor. Amor is a French word, I believe, means beloved. Para means another, additional, a second one. Par amor. You follow? Amor. So we have swakya and parakya, similar in Sanskrit. Parakya is practiced by those who follow in the footsteps of the Brajagopis. Upon perfection this sentiment, one is elevated to Goloka Vrindavan to associate with the gopis and enjoy loving affairs with Krishna there. This is a quote from Prabhupada's Nectar Devotion. To associate with the gopis and enjoy loving affairs of Krishna there. This is Parakya. Swakya is practiced by those followers or those devotees who follow in the footsteps of the Dwarka queens. Perfection, when they attain perfection or Krishna praying, they become elevated to Dwarka and attain servitorship among the queens of Dwarka, according to Vishwanath and Jiva Goswami. So now, in text 305, he's going to start with Sambandh Anuga. Sa, this is text 305, chapter 2. Sa Sambandh Anuga Bhakti Prachyote Sadbir Atmani Yat Priti Vhari Sambandha Manan Aropanatmika. Sambandh Anuga Bhakti is defined. Devotees define Sambandh Anuga Bhakti as that bhakti in which there is a constant contemplation of oneself as a parent of Krishna, a friend or servant of Krishna, and identifying fully with the role. Jiva's commentary. The bhakti whose essence, atmika, is concentrated contemplation, this is manana, concentrated contemplation, of a relationship such as parent, and identifying oneself in that role is called Sambandh Anuga Bhakti. And this, so in Sambandh Anuga, there's two divisions. One is to aspire for direct parenthood or friendship with Krishna. Another is to aspire for service and appreciation of Krishna's parents and friends. So there's a danger. Rupa Goswami warns, aspiring to direct relationship, if you want to become Krishna's father, we may develop a desire to become Nanda Maharaj himself. And then by that idea of oneness, one will be destroyed by such a Mayavadi conception. We see in Gaudiya Sampradaya, although it's a minority, extreme minority in general, because Lord Chaitanya especially came to broadcast as Swabhakti Shriyam. This is told in Adi Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, verse number 4, Anarpita Shriyam Chirat Kanana Kalo Avatirna Kalo. It says that Lord Chaitanya, it says Swabhakti Shriyam, he came to give something in this Kali Yuga that he's never given in any other Kali Yuga. And that is his own devotion. Of course, his own means her own, so Bhakti Shriyam. The beauty and sweetness and intimacy and charm of the service of Radharani, Radhadasyam. This is a special contribution that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given in this Kali Yuga, in this particular Kali Yuga. Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and also to teach the path of Rag Marg, Braj Bhakti, Raghunuga Bhakti, the specialities of Lord Chaitanya in this Kali Yuga. In every Kali Yuga, there is a golden avatar. In other Kali Yugas, he's known as Gaur Narayan. Gaur Narayan teaches he propagates the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, which is the Yuga Dharma. Gaur Narayan is, of course, Krishna, but he's in this mood of Aishwarya, golden color, Sachinandan, etc. But generally in the Gaur Narayan, the Acharya is saying there's no Gambhir Leela. Puri Leela is there, Rathiyatra, but not the inner moods. The inner moods of Mahabhava, Prakash, and all these things. And Lord Chaitanya is teaching the path to Krishna Prem is to chant the Maha Mantra and follow Vaidhi Sadhana. He's not preaching Braj Bhakti, he's not preaching Raghunuga Bhakti, and he's not preaching Manjari Bhava Radhadasyam. Only that's 999 Kali Yugas when Gaur Narayan comes. And in one Kali Yuga, once in a day of Brahma, and there's 1,000 Kali Yugas in a day of Brahma. In one Kali Yuga, then he comes. That's why Krishna's Kaviraj is glorifying that this Kali Yuga that we're in, only 500 years ago, Radha and Krishna Yugal have come, not Gaur Narayan. Yes, the son of Satchimata, yes, born in Mayapur, yes, propagating, chanting of Hare Krishna, but there's some bade, there's some difference. This is not Gaur Narayan, it's not a golden form of Vishnu or Krishna, for a particular, as an avatar of Kali Yuga, Patita Pavan. This is Radha and Krishna Yugal. Radha and Krishna Yugal, Rasaraj, Mahabhav, Radharani, only come once every 1,000 Kali Yugas. And then when this Lord Chaitanya comes, he comes to give something that's never been given any other Kali Yuga before, which is Braja Prem, Gopika Prem, and especially Radha Dasya. However, there are some lines coming from Nityananda and the Dwadasa Gopals, who came into Gaur Leela as they're the Gopas, Sridham Subal, etc., Goridas Pandit, Aviram Thakurus, Sridham, Goridas Subal, and the other Dwadasa Gopals, the 12 coward friends of Balaram, came as associates of Nityananda. They have propagated, to some extent, in a minority way, in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, Sakiras, which means to become, this is Sambandhanuga, to become a friend of Krishna. So, of course, we don't aspire, the followers of Sakiras, they don't aspire to become Subal Sakha or Sridham, but they aspire to have the service of Subal, Das, Das, Anudas, of Subal or Sridham. And this is also Sambandhanuga. Sambandhanuga. This is 305. A little bit more explanation. In Sambandhanuga, Sambandha means, of course, relationship. Sambandhanuga bhakti is bhakti in which one constantly thinks of oneself as Krishna's friend, a parent, or servant, and identifies with that role. Specifically, at least in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, if one is going in that direction towards Sakiras, he will think of himself as a servant of the servant of the servants of Krishna's friends. He's a friend, yes, I'm Krishna's friend, and Sakiras, but I'm servant of his friends. It says, when one deeply contemplates the feelings of relationships of Nanda Maharaj as Krishna's parents, or Sridham, Sudham, Subal, and Madhu Mangal as friends of Krishna, he always thinks of their feelings, and he ascribes to oneself, or he adopts those same feelings within himself, and he thinks, I long also to nourish and fondle my son Krishna, just like Nanda and Yashoda do. Or I also long and I hanker to play with my friend Krishna, like Sridham and Sudham, and take him on my shoulder and make him happy. There is aroused a form of bhakti called Sambandhanuga, Raghunuga Bhakti, which means, Anuga means, it follows in the wake of the Sambandha Rupa Ragatmika Bhakti of the Eternal Associates. So it says that one deeply contemplates their bhavas and their moods. Same thing with the gopis. We in Mandri Bhav or in Raghunuga Sadhana following the gopis in Kamarupanuga, Kamanuga Bhakti, we think of the moods and the services. Yes, I want to serve like that, like Rupa Mandri serves. Yes, I'd like to serve like Rati Mandri. But we don't think, I want to be Rupa Mandri. I want to be Rati Mandri. Let me take over their place. It's not like that. That's why we have this concept. Gopi Bhartu Palakamalior. Das, 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 Anudas. And a very beautiful phrase Prabhupada uses sometimes in his lectures. He says that the devotee, the pure devotee of Krishna, he aspires to become a servant of the servant of the servant 100 times removed. He uses this phrase you can see in folio. A servant of the servant of the servant 100 times removed. So this is the aspiration of the pure devotee of Krishna and the Rag Marg, that I know that Krishna reciprocates personally and individually with every devotee. And of course someday my Guru Sakhi or Rati Manjari Rupa, they will ask me, oh, you please collect some flowers and you make a garland, you string a garland. And we will collect all those beautiful Jui and Chameli and Kandama, Gulab, Mogra, all these nice flowers and make a beautiful garland. And then we're only thinking that, yes, I'm a servant of the servant. I've been asked to do this service. But then one fine day, our Guru Sakhi or Rupa Manjari, they might say, oh, hey Manjari, hey Sakhi, why don't you go in the Kunj? You go in the Kunj and offer this garland to Radharani so she can offer it to Krishna. So then that Manjari will get an opportunity to render direct service, direct Sakshat Seva to Radharani or to Krishna without going through the Anugatya, Sakhi Anugatya, the channel of the other Sakhis or Manjaris, which is the usual pattern. So in this way, the Sadaka, when he attains perfection, he can have a very intimate and direct connection to the Lord. Either way, it's not that he's thinking, oh, if I can't offer the garland myself, then I don't want to pick flowers. If I can't go on the Kunj and put the garland on Radharani's neck, then forget it. I'm not picking any flowers. You get somebody else. Because there's no materiality there, no material measurements and conceptions. If anyone has any connection with Krishna or Radharani and any kind of service connection, then they're experiencing the premananda, the unlimited bliss and joy of that service connection. And it's only a matter of degree, more and more joy and more bliss. It's not like, oh, I'm left out. Oh, what about me? I can't go in the Kunj. But that feeling doesn't come there. And they do go in the Kunj sometimes, and you do render direct service. And you do make the tambo and you put it right in Radharani's hand. That opportunity also comes. Sankalpa Kalpa Juma, Vishnu Chakravarti is explaining this line of thought, that it's direct. Sometimes people say, oh, there's only one Radha and Krishna. And there are millions and millions of people becoming Hare Krishna devotees. And millions of devotees are going to attain perfection by the mercy of Mahaprabhu and Nityananda. And millions of devotees will become Manjaris and Sakhis and Pran Sakhis in the spiritual world. So when I get to the spiritual world, there's going to be millions and millions and millions of Manjaris. And when will I ever get a chance to have Nikunja Seva? When will I ever have a chance to enter the Kunj and serve Radha and Krishna? Maybe Brinda Devi will give me a ticket. Brinda Devi will have so many numbers and she'll give me a ticket. Oh, you're Manjari 27 million. Your number is 27 million. There's a neon sign here outside the Kunja and you keep your eyes on that sign, and when it comes up to 27 million, then that's, you know, the bell will ring and then you go inside. That's your opportunity you'll get to. Because there's only one Radha and Krishna and there's so many millions and millions of Manjaris. So it's a long, long line. It's like some Vyasa Puja celebration of one of these big, big gurus. They have thousands of disciples and everybody's in line to offer their offering or give a garland, and it's, you get 1/100th of a second darshan of your guru, and then you say, Jai Gurudev, and then you're gone. You put a garland and you go, and that's it. And then you wait a whole year and get another 1/100th of a second darshan next year, isn't it? And the Vyasa Puja is held in some huge auditorium or some huge fortress or whatever to accommodate the thousands and thousands. So that's here, in this plane. There is some limitation of time and space. Although bhakti is not limited, and guru and disciple are not limited, there's always eternal access, ATM, 24 hours. Right? Gurudev is ATM machine. And you have a debit card? You have a debit card? Are you a disciple? If you're a disciple, you have a debit card, is it right? So debit card means you can go to the ATM machine and take out money 24 hours a day. Is it right? You know all these things. ATM, anytime money. Right? That's what it means. So guru is any ATM, anytime mercy. 24 hours a day you can take your debit card and type in your number, Krishna Das, and then you can get the mercy of the guru flowing into your mind, flowing into your heart. Anywhere you go in the world, you can get this ATM. You know, as long as you have your debit card, oh, you go to Europe, you go here, there, Citibank. Citibank debit card. Citibank Delhi, Citibank Jaipur, Agra, everywhere Citibank, Vrindavan, everywhere. So everywhere Guru. The treasury of Guru's wealth is there anywhere and everywhere for all sincere disciples. There's unlimited treasury. If you have the debit card, the debit card is surrender. And debit card is faith. Sharanagati and Shraddha. If one has that Guru Shraddha and Guru Sharanagati, he can take any unlimited amount of money, unlimited amount of mercy he can draw from the Guru anytime, any place. What is actually the situation? Will you get that number, 27 million? Mundri 27 million, and have to wait in line for 27 million days to get your lucky day to go into the kunja to offer your garland that you strung so devotionally and attentively and carefully? No, it's not like that. There are actually, everything is completely individual. As you saw in the Rasa dance, there were 3 million gopis in the Rasa dance, according to the Padma Puran, a Maharas dance on this Ashwin Purnima or Sharad Purnima. And for every single gopi, there was one Krishna. This is the spiritual world. So there will be thousands and thousands of kunjas and thousands of Radha and Krishnas. And no one, and that still it preserves all the Madhurya, because no one will be aware of all these manifestations. Same as in the Rasa dance. No gopi saw that there was 3 million other gopis. No gopi saw that there was, hey, wait a minute. It's not Krishna with me. There's 3 million Krishnas here with 3 million gopis. Hey, this is no fun. It's not just me with Krishna. You read in the 10th canto in the Bhagavatam, it says, each gopi was thinking, Krishna is alone with me. Krishna is dancing alone with me. This is the arrangement of Yoga Maya and Prema. In the same way, every mandri will think, oh, there's Radha and Krishna here. There's my Rupa Mandri Pad, say Rupa Mandri Pada. There's my Rati Mandri. There's my Kamala Mandri. There's my Nayanamani Mandri. There's my Guru Mandri's here. Everyone's here. We have our little circle. We have our parampara. We have our group, our ISKCON Kunj. What did Prabhupada say? There'll be ISKCON in the spiritual world. This is the meaning. This means that the Guru and his disciples and their group, they will have their own kunjas and their Seva Kunj. Prabhupada is in Seva Kunj. Prabhupada said, this is my eternal home. He said, this is my eternal home, Seva Kunj. You should understand, when Prabhupada was there in the rooms in Radhadamodar, he said to his disciples, you should understand, I am residing here eternally. This is my eternal residence, Seva Kunj. This is recorded in the history of Prabhupada's Lilamrita. In our book, Prabhupada Rat. This he didn't say Raman Reti, he said Seva Kunj. His samadhi is there, his Chinmayadeya is there, and his bhajan stali is there in Raman Reti, but his eternal place of service is at the lotus feet of Vilas Mandri and Rupa Mandri and Seva Kunj. Part and part, Seva Kunj is part of the Rasa dance. Dear Samir, Yamunapalin, Vamshivat, Govindagat, Seva Kunj, Nidiban, this is all these are different parts of the Rasa Mandala. Different activities, and is Seva Kunj one activity during Ras Lila, Nidiban another activity, Govinda Ghat is where Krishna reappears at the gopis, and Dear Shamir is where they sat in the kunj and relaxed, etc. And then Bamshivadi called the gopis, and then Yamuna Pulin, they wandered. All these are the parts of the topography of the Ras Mandala, of Ras Lila. Prabhupada is there in the middle of the Ras Mandala and Seva Kunj, serving the Ras Lila of Radha and Krishna. Nikunja Yuno Ratikeli Sidhai Yayali Bir Yuktira Pekshaniya.